You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. It's so good to be back. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We're talking about Season 1, Episode 16, The End of the Beginning. We've been off the air for a few weeks. It's so nice to be back with all of y'all. I'm Matt Lieberman, as always, joined by the fantastic panel. Megan Salinas is here.
Hey, agents. How's it going?
Kristen Carroll's here.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
And Joyce Azuri is here.
Hi. Missed you guys.
Roya Tahiri on the ones and twos, engineering for us tonight.
Hi.
Yes.
Can I interrupt you? I want to start off with something. Roya has something special for you and Joyce. You might want to check out the
monitors.
For
me and for Joyce?
Yes, Megan and I.
Joyce and Matt, sorry you couldn't be here at the Patty Fest. And hope to see you soon.
Hi, Matt and Joyce. Wish you were here.
What?
I've never met you before, but wish you were here.
I want to say hi to Matt and Joyce. We wish you were here.
What's up?
Holy moly.
Hey, Joyce and Matt. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my god!
I was about to lose it when it was Jed and Marissa doing it, the showrunners. But Clark Gregg said our names and that he was sorry we weren't there. That's the coolest.
And he grabbed the mic.
He was like, "I'm ready for this.
I've got to let them know."
That was so cool.
He seems like a dude.
You had May. You had Colson.
And we had Fitz.
Thanks, you guys.
And the.
The creators, showrunners, Marissa Tantarone and Jed Whedon. Thank you guys so much.
That is so cool. Thank
so,
you.
Obviously, right off the top, you two, you visited Paley Fest. You got to see the panel and interview folks on the red carpet. Those interviews are available on the AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, and towards the end, we'll show you a little highlight of it.
But, fantastic.
So we got to interview a bunch of them, which was really cool through AfterBuzz. And those are the ones we got, like, one-on-ones on a red carpet. You don't always get just them to yourselves.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to share.
Yeah,
it's not fair, but sometimes you have to share.
Chloe Bennett, and we also got Brett Dalton. And I'll show you, I picked kind of one of the more important things that they said on there. But there's some funny stuff that I didn't cut in there either.
Great.
So
okay, well,
definitely check it out.
We'll be playing that later on and talking about your experiences at Paley Fest towards the end of the episode. And, of course, all of the full-length interviews are available on the AfterBuzz TV YouTube channel. You just got to look for them. I'm legitimately excited. We had no idea that was happening. So that's a wonderful surprise.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, the title of the episode says it all. I think that after, you know, at the top of the season, some folks, you know, ourselves included at times, were a bit perplexed at, you know, the direction of the show, the quality of the show. We all had varying expectations for what a Marvel series would look like, what it would feel like. And I feel like the writers took a second. They went and maybe took a retreat and were like, how can we kick this into high gear? And we've been seeing it, you know, over the last last six episodes, I would say. We've been seeing improvement every single week. And now I feel like in this title, they're saying, listen, forget everything you've seen. This show is about to kick into the highest possible gear. And you better get ready. And wow, what an episode. It was a great hour.
I like it because it, really it kind of got rid of the people who weren't hardcore about this show from the beginning. I think a lot of people were, like you said, a little bit questionable. But, you know, it's like when you go to a... like, I'm a Cubs fan. So, like, you know when the Cubs... Well, first of all, I suck most of the year. But, like, you know once they start really sucking for a long amount of time, it gets rid of all those bandwagoner people. So then you get, like, the true people who are ready for this show.
Who want to watch a losing ball game.
Yeah. And want some beer.
Only S.H.I.E.L.D. is not losing.
Right. Instead, winning ball game.
Yes.
But now it's that cool cult ball game that those losers bailed on because they thought it was going to be lame.
Exactly.
Idiots.
Indeed.
And now we're just bad Latin homers.
So, in your faces.
Yeah.
Well, that and everything that, you know, when people were still kind of fair weather about it, that was all set up. Like, mm-hmm. and now, you know, things have been paying off for weeks. You know, when Shield is actually on, it has been paying off. And I think that there was a lot of strategy, actually, in terms of, I hated it going on hiatus as long as it did, mm-hmm. but considering when the release dates are for the Marvel movies that have come out since S.H.I.E.L.D. started, I think there was a method to the madness.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the folks at Marvel themselves, they specifically said, watch this episode, then go see Captain America the Winter Soldier this weekend, and then you'll be up to date for what's going to happen next week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of the great things, Kristen said, you know, as we were watching the show, is that from now until the end of the season, there are no more breaks.
No, thank goodness. I think that hurt, too. I mean, that also hurts an audience. It's hard when it's like, wait, is it on this week or is it? Oh,
well, because
nope,
first it's
one.
The Olympics and then we get it back for a little bit and then it's gone again with no explanation. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that was due to the release date of Winter Soldier. But nobody said that. Nobody, you know, it's just kind of like, OK, we're going to throw reruns at them for a little bit after they waited for forever to get like one or two new episodes.
Yeah, like right. they could have said something like, you know, to tie in with Winter Soldier.
What I would love for season two, which, you know, I imagine, I don't know if we got the official renewal.
Fingers crossed.
They haven't. We asked at the red carpet, and all of them are like, we hope so. Well, we have ideas that are amazing. And so,
yeah, they have ideas for seasons to come, for like season two and season three.
That's great.
I hope that's enough.
Like, they know where they want season three to end.
If we get a second season, what I would like to see happen is we delay the premiere mm-hmm. of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Until whatever fall Marvel movie we're doing, it just came out. Whatever mm-hmm. it is, it comes out, and then the show premieres after it in the wake of that movie, mm-hmm. and then airs uninterrupted for 22 weeks up through the release of the next one. As cool as it is to see the universe interact and be affected, I really want to be able to watch a consistent story.
Right.
Cable has spoiled us in that regard. Mm-hmm. You know, a show like The Walking Dead, where they split the season in half, you know, people put up with because they tell two stories, essentially, over the course.
Well, and you're also talking about a show, though, that has found its viewership. Mm-hmm. So when you split it up like that, it's not that big of a deal. Like, Once Upon a Time had about a three-month hiatus there as well. But it's in its third season, and they didn't do that at the beginning. They tried to keep it all together.
And to do what they're doing right now in a show that's in its first season is pretty risky. So, you know, that's why it's like fingers crossed for season two. Let's hope that, you know, enough viewers can come back for these last seven episodes.
Well, that's on the fans. So here's what you do. Go tell your friends, the people who skipped out at the beginning or the people who didn't even ever try, and you sit them down and you say, listen, you just got to power through. Show them some of these recent episodes, and they should be so inspired that they'll go back and they'll get all the character development.
Get it together, guys.
It's on the fans. We alone have the power to make season two happen, so let's get on it. Let's jump into this episode, though, because I don't want to waste our listeners' time. So we open with the return of Agent Garrett. Always a welcome sight. Agent Garrett, Agent Triplett. We love them both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're in this hotel room, and they're chatting about Deathlok and the Clairvoyant, only to be assaulted by Deathlok in the hotel room.
Guess who's at the door?
Guess who's at the door of the safe house? It's Deathlok, and he, you know, they shoot at him, he punches them, and then he flies away through the ceiling.
Which, like, it's not that safe of a house that the guy can just plow right through the ceiling. Right?
Up and away!
It kind of looked more like, I thought it looked more like a penthouse or something. Right? Like, are they at the top there? Floor. Yeah.
I guess the safe part is that no one knows that it's a S.H.I.E.L.D.-owned location.
It's probably a S.H.I.E.L.D. hotel, though, with the logo, like, everywhere.
The big old
S.H.I.E.L.D.
logo.
Very, very obvious.
I would stay there. I'm not going to lie. That would be cool.
It looks like they were fully stocked with wine and everything, too. It looked like a nice place to
I love how he has like nice office. It's not Four Seasons. I'm like, it's so nice. Yeah.
It's a bit more modern than the Four Seasons. The Four Seasons is a bit traditional, honestly, okay. For my taste.
Perhaps I haven't experienced the Four Seasons.
Yeah. But as we see later in the backscatter X-ray of Deathlok, you know, his bones have been replaced with metal. you know, he can withstand not only bullets, but, you know, plowing through a very solid roof.
Yeah, and the icer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally handled that.
That didn't help.
Because he's not human anymore. Mm-hmm. He's lost a large part of it. We don't know how much of his actual body is left, or if it's just, you know, fake skin wrapped around a metal thing. Ugh. With his brain inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was really messed up, too, when he was putting on that arm link. And, you know, the clairvoyant sending him a message saying, don't say I never gave you anything.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you were a jerk.
Yeah, for a second, I thought it was going to be his son. I thought it was going to be his kid here to see his dad.
That would have totally turned that episode around to a whole other.
Well, I don't think
ending.
I don't think Mike would really want his son to see him
Definitely
this way
not.
Because
right.
he is becoming a villain. Obviously not by choice because they're manipulating him and everything like that. But he said it himself. At this point, Mike Peterson is dead. And that's how he feels right now. I don't believe it. I think that obviously there's still a way for him to come back. But it's going to be a long haul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Blake said that they could still help him. So mm-hmm. there must be a way for him to somehow come out of
yeah,
this.
All they have to do is sever whatever link, you know, would let the
Just
clairvoyant,
get rid of the clairvoyant
set off that... set off the little self-destruct thing.
Yeah.
All they right. have to do is sever that link, and then Mike Peterson can come back to the good guys.
But yeah. he's still a robot man. He's still a cyborg. He doesn't want to live like that.
But
he's probably suicidal.
True. But if he could overcome that, he still has his brain.
It's
he
the
still
difference
has his memories.
Of fighting against something and fighting for something,
sure.
Matt.
Okay, that's fair.
I think his son's going to come into play at some point.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a tool to be used against mm-hmm. Deathlok.
Yeah.
His weak point. So, you know, hopefully we get some resolution on that front. So, this attack causes Coulson to summon all of the, you know, upper-level agents that we've encountered so far. Victoria Hand, Agent Blake.
Top brass.
Top men. Top men. If anyone's seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Who hasn't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Right. And Agent Garrett, they all get on the bus, you know, so that hopefully the clairvoyant won't know what's going on. If they're high up enough in the sky, maybe psychic powers won't be an issue. Unfortunately, as we come to learn, psychic has nothing to do with
yeah.
it. And, you know, you shouldn't invite Agent Hand to a party because
no.
she's a sourpuss and a traitor.
Just in so many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, just not knowing what we know at the end of this episode. Just like, no.
Yeah.
Every party
she
has a pooper.
So crazy. Mm-hmm. I thought she was... For a moment, I thought she was really threatened in this episode. Like, she just felt like she was being ganged up on in some way because...
Yeah, and she starts lashing out a little
bit. She's like, don't call me Vic.
You know,
it's
condescending. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, moments like that and then, like, some looks that she gave. But then at the end, it's like, well, maybe that was just kind of a ploy to make them not think
she's a decent actress in terms of like interacting with her fellow SHIELD agents, you know. Obviously
exactly.
we know that she's probably up to something, but you know, to somebody in SHIELD it's probably like, no, she's just no nonsense by the book. She's just not going to be pushed around
right.
by her fellow top agents. She's
right.
gotten to where she's at for a reason
by being cutthroat and ruthless and wearing a devious shade of lipstick.
Her lipstick was on point.
Yeah.
And her hair is just adorable. I really like the red.
Fashion tips from Hand.
Yeah. So,
see, I don't trust it now.
You don't trust
I'm going to see people with like red streaks in their hair. I'm just going to be like, I know what you're up to.
Mm-hmm. You're a clairvoyant, probably. So Coulson pitches out this idea for a plan. We're going to go after all of the potential clairvoyants that were that SHIELD looked at one point or another. But were rejected from the list and that maybe we have overlooked. However, to make sure that the clairvoyant doesn't know that we're coming, we're going to split us all up into separate little two-man teams. And, you know, we're not going to tell everyone where the other ones are going so that we can maintain secrecy. The only person that we can think of, though, who would be able to do it isn't a SHIELD agent until... Lil Skye's giving her wings.
Yeah.
She's giving her SHIELD wings.
That was really awesome. That's another time
I mean, for a level one.
Exactly. Freaking Hand. That's one of the moments I felt Hand was like, really, like threatened. Like,
yeah,
they're giving this to her. She must be really important.
I think she was probably more like rolling her eyes like, oh my gosh, this is a Hallmark card moment. Like, I'm in a Hallmark commercial
like,
right
this
now.
Is Agents
Please,
of
she's
Shield,
a level
not a
one
ceremony.
Agent. Get over it.
Get
big
over
deal.
It, people. Look, she's still a rebel and a child, and she's going to get drummed
well, she,
out of the core.
She only feels that way, A, because she's Hand, and B, because she doesn't know what Sky...
And if she really is the clairvoyant or working, hand in hand with the clairvoyant.
Hand in hand.
but I'm Tish. but if she's working hand in hand with the clairvoyant, then obviously Sky has something that they want, that they need, that they're going to kill her for.
Now, would you say that if she's not the clairvoyant, but she's working for the clairvoyant would have hand in hand?
Yes, he would.
Okay.
Do we know for sure that Victoria knows that Sky is an 084?
Does
she have
She
that?
Probably has the security clearance okay. for it, but
we also don't know what May has
And we don't know who May's talking
yeah, exactly.
to
right.
is the
we,
main
we
thing.
We don't know what she's told
What
to
we
do.
Can't say that she's talking to Director Fury. We can't just assume that. To me,
I would
that
like
makes
to
sense.
Believe that.
Well,
because...
But then why would they need to know what Coulson did to survive? Because Fury was the only one that knew. So didn't that kind
well,
of knock
I think
him
it's,
out as somebody
it's prob-
that was it?
If we're going with the they're trying to protect Coulson, you know, obviously finding out all these big revelations, it could be dangerous. It could be, you know, enough to put somebody in post-traumatic stress. You know, it could make somebody have a nervous breakdown. So it could be that Agent Fury is having May keep tabs on what they know.
No, I know, but so. One of the things that they captured Coulson for was to try to figure out how he survived.
No, we're Fury not talking about we're not That's... talking about the clairvoyant. We're talking about Agent May's secure hardline, which we'll get more into later.
I thought you said that you thought Nick Fury was the clairvoyant.
No, I'm saying that Melinda May has been like, reporting what? To Nick Fury. Neither of them have anything to do with the clairvoyant.
And that's
just
the only reason
so
why
it's a separate
yeah.
entity.
Yeah,
that's
and that's the
saying.
Only reason okay. why the clairvoyant didn't know what happened to Coulson was because Nick Fury was the only
one.
Well,
no,
one.
I caught that
yeah.
of it. Now that I know that you're talking about it separately, it all makes sense. I thought you were throwing in like, Nick Fury is the clairvoyant.
No,
and that was
oh
like,
my God. That would make
wait,
for
what?
A very different, like, wouldn't that be a twist?
I would be so mad.
What's a twist?
I would be so confused. So mad.
Like, underneath the eye patch is actually a robot eye like Deathlok has, and it just has all
you
this
don't know that there isn't there very
Whoa.
Well could be okay all right folks
That's
we,
actually
we,
really
bring it back
we gotta bring it back so she gets her wings and she comes up with another twist to our little scenario that each team only one member of the team will know where they're going and only one member of the team will be able to find out who they're looking for so our teams get sent off into the world. But first, we got to talk about Fitz and Simmons, who are still wrestling with the unnatural, miraculous recovery of Sky and her miracle blood, which they need to figure out what's going on with it. They want to know, but Coulson doesn't want them to tell anyone about it.
Is anybody else? I mean, I love Simmons, but I've been a little annoyed with her the last two episodes.
Why?
She seems a little feisty, and I just all of a sudden now she's questioning Coulson.
Kristen Carroll,
yeah.
Do you not like feisty girls?
No,
it's
I like May.
I know exactly where you're coming from.
I just felt
from.
Like she had a little too much attitude. Just like you know. Why should we obey the rules? When are you like this? You know,
it's
I'm going
of...
to go against... I'm definitely going to stay at the hub because I'm going to go behind Coulson's back and then just go do my own molecular breakdown.
It's kind
know?
Of like the
That's
same reason
that
Sky annoyed me in the beginning. Like,
yeah.
Because she
it was at
so...
a little, like, you liked her most
like,
of the time.
Like,
just there's
stop.
Just little,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't hate her. I'm not okay. saying, like, all of a sudden I'm like, ah, Simmons. But I just...
I think it comes
down,
from a good place, though.
Yeah, of course.
Although if it's
she
more
thinks
for
she knows better than Coulson now though.
Yeah. If
that
it's coming
me
well,
from
think about this, right? Coulson, you know, we haven't seen any side effects, but you know, in her mind, he could be hiding this stuff. This is her trying to protect Sky and try to protect mm-hmm. Coulson because neither of them are trying to get help. In her mind, she's helping Coulson who could very well be in denial about what this serum is doing to his body. That is, as a doctor, she is the Hippocratic Oath. She is trying to make sure mm-hmm. that these people live the best lives that they possibly can.
I hope this whole episode, though, kind of like kicks her not from doing that to learn that you can't trust everybody in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I hope
it's an
now
important
she
lesson.
Kind of, 'cause I mean, that's something that Coulson isn't communicating to her. But I think one of the reasons is
now she might be totally grateful that he's been stopping her this whole time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next couple episodes.
That's true. I'm looking at it from her point of view in terms of she was the one that at the very end made the call to inject Sky with this GH. It was
GH325.
Okay, I wasn't sure on the numbers, but. But yeah, so she was the one that made that call. So anything bad that happens to Sky down the road
responsible.
Is ultimately her fault.
Right.
So you guys don't think she's working for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, you mean she's you think working she's not working?
No, I mean like May working
underground. You know?
Well, and it's always possible because everybody in this show seems to have secrets, and people are keeping, you know, obviously May's keeping a big secret. So who knows? Simmons might be keeping a few secrets of her own.
Didn't Simmons also want to send GH325 to HQ that maybe people can benefit from it? Like it could potentially be this amazing cure or this amazing regenerative thing.
Yeah. Well, if the fact is...
So she's like trying to maybe help the needs of the many.
Yeah. She's a scientist. Yeah. She would love to be able to discover a cure-all that could help save thousands of lives. She also wants to make sure that her friends are safe. And frankly, it is odd to her and kind of abhorrent that S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to keep, and Coulson especially, wants to keep this technology locked up. And frankly, she doesn't know where it comes from, so she can't know it's alien.
Yeah, she didn't see what Coulson saw. Right. You know, the only person that he's told is Sky, and the only reason May knows is because she overheard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's spying on them. So I think maybe if Simmons had a better idea of where it actually came from, she would understand their concern a lot more. But from her perspective, it's just like this is science.
I know. It's just somebody who likes Coulson, obviously, and then all the fact is she's just getting feisty with him where she's really hasn't led him astray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a little kid, I guess.
I love how she snapped at Sky and she was like, oh, so now you want to obey the rules?
That was cute. That was funny.
But that was also really telling of how much Sky has changed to kind of fit herself into S.H.I.E.L.D. more, but she's still herself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of growing up, too.
Exactly.
Like, because I think, at first she was like, let's stick it to the man. You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is this big organization, and they're just bad.
Let's stick it to the man, man. we'll see what happens now that Simmons is at the hub with Victoria Hand, who is probably a murderous and a bad person. Yeah.
And the very last thing that we hear Simmons say is there are a bunch of agents like flooding into this room, and then she gets and then she gets cut off. So it's like, is Simmons going to be okay?
I hope she's okay, and I hope she learns a very good lesson from this. You never leave a good Fitzy behind, okay? and you never leave Fitzy's behind, okay?
I don't know. She went off with Trip, so
I
think she's doing
right. She looked pretty happy.
Look, we all love our Trippins, okay? But I'm very deeply concerned that he is going to give up his life for her in the ensuing whatever situation is going on at the hub with all these evil agents.
Aww.
I'm just saying. Okay, I got to talk about iTunes, and then we got to move on. Don't skip ahead. I know when you do. How do I know? Technology. Shut up.
Clairvoyant.
Fact is,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
analytics.
There we go. The fact is, people, we need your support here at AfterBuzz TV. Thankfully, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. And if someone has the podcast app on their phone and they want to pull up the reviews, that would be rad because mine died right in the middle of trying to do it during the show. So I will vamp until you do. Because here's the thing, folks. Here at AfterBuzz TV, we put out over 70 hours of quality content a week. It's a crazy undertaking. And the fact is, every little bit of your support helps. You know, the ratings and reviews that you leave on our shows, no matter what shows they are, raise the collective water level of the entire network. It's how we're able to get our sponsors. It's how we're able to get incredible guests and get interviews like we did at Paley Fest with the cast and creators of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So go to iTunes, rate and review. It only takes a second, doesn't cost you a single solitary cent. And, you know, not only does it make us feel better about ourselves, which, frankly, we need. We're highly insecure people. but it lets our bosses know that we're not only are we doing a good job, but that the audience is on board with how we run our show. It really means a lot. And it's so quick and so easy. you know, why wouldn't you? Did you find it?
I have Sprint, so it's not very
so it's
good.
Terrible.
And I don't have the app.
Okay.
So
well, then here's what I will say. Any reviews that we got in the last few weeks since we've been off the air, I will totally read all of them word for word on next week's podcast. You have my word. So go rate, review, comment.
Oh, wait, I have the YouTube stuff.
You have the YouTube stuff?
It's very slowly loading.
Let's just do it next week.
Okay.
We'll be better prepared.
Good idea.
Okay.
Wow.
Sweet.
Oh, here's
play
some.
That again.
That's what she said.
Okay. For a hot second, I thought that was Stephen.
Okay. Ghost 8386. Matt, Joyce, Megan, and Kristen. Great show, like always, you guys. You guys need Stan Lee on your After Buzz show. Oops. Sorry. And one of the ads started playing. Sorry, guys. Good episode. BSB Girl 85. Good episode, and I enjoyed seeing Lady Sith. I was surprised, too, when Fitz was turned and they were already on the plane. I loved War and Maid's fight. Ooh, this is very long.
Yeah.
But basically, they said at the end, I hate how ambiguous the Loki and Odin stuff is, which
okay.
is what we kind of talked about before.
Big stuff down the way.
Sabra Girl, 1980, Matt, Joyce, Megan, and Kristen. I still maintain that Melinda has a secret love affection for Coulson.
Whoa.
I think her feelings for him are really what made her come out of retirement
you
to join
what?
His team.
Maybe.
Do you think that her secret hard line is to her heart?
We talked about how Joyce brought up it was Lady Sif's 50th birthday, the character.
Oh, yeah.
And then as it turns out, it was Jamie Alexander's 30th birthday that same week.
Oh.
So happy birthday
that
to both
day,
of them.
Same day, actually.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
wonderful.
Wow.
Crazy, isn't
That's
it?
That's crazy.
Xavier Fincher said, is it bad that I found Evil Ward more interesting than regular Good Ward?
I will say yes, that's bad.
Evil Ward is sexy Ward.
Three people thumbs up that.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone who reached out on YouTube, and we will get all you iTunes people next week. I promise.
Yeah, there were a lot more on here. Yeah. But yeah, thanks. You know, we really appreciate it. We do.
These are really fun to read.
Yeah,
thank
I'm looking
you.
At it right
we
now,
always
guys.
Try
you
to
have a lot to do for next
I
week.
I know.
Just
it's going
to
be a whole long segment. So the fact is, it's like, I want to get through all this plot. We got so much more to talk about. We still got a clip reel.
But thank everybody.
Thank you guys so much. All right. So we got our pairs heading out into the world. We got May and Agent Blake. We have Ward and Trip, I believe. Am I wrong?
Yep.
Yeah.
Warden
Tripp
and Garrett
and
Coulson. Heading out to all these three different locations, two of which do not bear any fruit. However, May and Blake are at this retirement home, and they're not seeing anybody there.
It's totally empty.
Yeah, as is the prison that Tripp and Ward are at. And Deathlok shows up and starts blasting missiles. Terrible. Then he takes Agent Blake and he steps on his goddamn head.
Oh, my God.
Which...
I don't think it was his head, but there
like
were definitely crunching sounds.
It was fine. Let's call it neck and clavicle.
Oh, his
upper body.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He stepped
Either
through
way.
His upper body.
Oh, that's not better.
Well, but, and Coulson and Garrett were surrounded a little bit by other cars. Here,
yeah,
so.
they had, you know, they were blocked
right.
off.
Right, we
and
were made to think that theirs
them.
Was going to be the trap because it looked very suspicious, but thankfully that was not the case.
Really good setup on all three of those. They were really good at building the tension because all of them were kind of like, oh, this is a sketchy situation.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Where is he going to pop up? And he happened to pop up at the retirement home.
Yes. So he popped up there. So they have a suspect, this character who was supposed to be comatose or be basically a vegetable.
Thomas Nash.
Thomas Nash was supposed to be a vegetable, but it turns out he's not even there. So we have a suspect. We got to go get him. Now, earlier in the episode, I neglected to mention Fitzy had invented brand new tracking rounds to put in the guns.
Those were so crazy.
They were
Those,
so
that
cool.
That was a good little
so
twist.
So at some point, Agent Blake used a tracking round. He shot 5 rounds from his regular gun, switched guns or clips, and fired one of the tracking rounds. So they were able to track Deathlok to his next location down in Pensacola, Florida, where we find John Nash hiding.
Thomas Nash,
thank you. Who's John Nash?
His brother.
No. Yeah. Thomas Nash, they find him, they fight Deathlok runs away, And we get Brad Dourif, who's the best. Grima Wormtongue from The Lord of the Rings. He voiced Chucky in all Chucky movies.
So cool.
He's a really, really cool dude, an amazing actor. And he really does an amazing job with just the power of his voice and not being able to move and just what's going on behind his eyes. A really cool, creepy performance. We think we finally met the clairvoyant. Oh, effing snap.
Little did we know. I thought it was him. I mean, the whole, because I totally fell for the whole, you know, his text on the screen and everything. And that's how he communicates with everybody with that.
Well, and you just, you know, just from the very moment that they step into the room and it's just this chair surrounded by all these monitors and with everything that, oops, sorry, with everything that everybody's been theorizing about the clairvoyant, we're like, oh, it's like security system. Maybe he's an AI, you know, maybe, you know, all the stuff that we've been throwing out as well. And
we never would have thought it would be someone who's totally immobilized.
Right.
I definitely didn't think about that. But when you see all the monitors, you're like, okay, you know, surveillance system. This is exactly along the lines of what we've been thinking. And then you hear the computerized voice and you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he tries to get at Coulson through his emotions, which to me makes Coulson's theory that he wanted them to kill him all the more apt. Because he was trying to get Coulson to get emotional and shoot him. But he doesn't. Instead, Ward, out of nowhere.
That, very yeah. shocking.
Blasts him in the chest.
But only after he kept, you know, talking about Sky and how only Coulson and Sky have this thing in common. And the moment that Sky and Coulson went through, that's when Ward just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I sort of think that, you know, we always kind of felt that Ward and Sky had this connection, and I feel like it's coming about even more now because, like we talked about earlier, she's changed so much in this season.
And Garrett makes a point.
And Garrett totally, like, it's like he's trying to plant the seeds of this connection into her head in case right. she didn't already feel it.
Well, it's also kind of like a bit of miscommunication because Garrett is sensing that Ward has someone, you know, tying him to this team that he cares about, and it's actually Melinda May, who he's not told Garrett about, and now now Garrett is telling Sky, you know, he seems happier, he seems better, it seems like he has a person,
like he has a purpose,
you know.
But Lorelai said that there was somebody on there that wasn't May, and it sounded like, you know, when we were at the red carpet and stuff, that they're going to focus on
that
Sky and
over.
Ward again,
yeah.
As another fan pointed out on my Brett Dalton interview, they were like, Brett's so over May and Ward. Like, don't ask him questions about that.
Wow.
Which I didn't know that.
That's a good note to give after an interview.
So don't ask him that. Go back in time.
I guess he had said in a bunch of interviews I hadn't seen. Or, you know, it's well known that May and Ward is completely over.
All right, fine. Gosh.
It
no,
happens.
But it was funny too because even Chloe Bennett was. I did ask her, and I'm like, "So is Sky and Ward? Have we seen the end of them?" And she goes, "No, never." And she goes, "I think they end up together.
Yeah,
they're soulmates."
She's like, "I think they're destined to be together."
Exactly.
It was adorable.
But it's kind of funny that they set it up that way at the beginning of the season, and then completely get rid of them, and then all of a sudden now it's just starting to, you know, he has something worth fighting for, and then it's, you know, he kills her because kills the clairvoyant because he's talking about Sky. I just
maybe
you
not
know.
The clairvoyant though.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't even think about that point.
That it might have been a prop.
Up. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But then it makes sense because this guy is still in hospital garb, and he's. I mean, like,
well, who brought him down?
Exactly.
There?
I mentioned like who takes care of him, who like transported him, like what happened. He must have just been plucked and like placed there
that day. I guess Deathlok, you know, it's got some super strength going on, so picked him up out of the home.
Well, all this talk about, you know, the clairvoyant being psychic, quote unquote, even though we know that that's not the case, but it just keeps reminding me a little bit of how May got the name of the cavalry, because, you know, that whole incident involved somebody who supposedly had psychic powers, and I'm not saying that there's any sort of connection here with that or that ties into it in any way, but But they made it sound like in that situation that this person who supposedly had psychic powers had developed a following and that that was the true threat. And so looking at this person, it's like, did they have a following? Like, did this man have a following? Is that how he's been able to accomplish all this? You know, because Raina and Mr. Poe seem to think that he had these supernatural abilities. And mm-hmm. so through them, I guess, is how he did everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, if that wasn't him, what is all this?
Well, what we learned relatively quickly through Coulson and through Sky is that their personnel files and their original interviews from and psych evaluations from when they became S.H.I.E.L.D. agents revealed a lot of the information that that the clairvoyant has used against them. So it's obviously someone with clearance. We're not entirely sure who, but unluckily, at the same time, Fitzy discovers the secret hardline of Melinda May. And oh, snap, she is pissed.
I don't think it's May. I don't think May is the one behind the clairvoyant or has any connection. I think she's just as much a victim as everyone else is being victimized.
Well, she
right
looked
now.
Pretty earnest when they were accusing her of like working with the clairvoyant. She's like, wait, what?
Like she somehow got roped into this whole thing.
It sounds, I know we're kind of going off on a leap and with predictions and everything like that, but I think it is far more likely that she's reporting to somebody like Director Fury or possibly Maria Hill.
I agree. If it's not Director Fury, it's Maria Hill or maybe even, you know, the doctor who operated on Coulson, but it's
probably... Yeah, he disappeared. No,
you don't
we don't
think
know
she's happened calling Victoria Hand?
Yeah, you don't think it's like...
I don't think so.
No way.
I thought
think
maybe
so.
She was being kind of like...
Played?
At the end of the last episode, I thought maybe she was talking to Victoria Hand, but after this episode and just seeing how kind of confused she was when they were having
that's
this
true
standoff yeah confrontation...
And I just don't understand how it benefits the show to blow up our core unit, because to have May be a traitor would be so incredibly damaging.
That's true. Plus, it's not even fitting for her character to just kind
of.
But they don't know Victoria Hand's the traitor. So
no,
for reporting to her, she's just another level up.
But she's so close with Coulson, I don't understand why she would spy on him if it wasn't for good reason.
If it wasn't for something she felt to be for his own good.
Right. And I feel like, you know, Nick Fury is the only person I can think of who would, you know, you have to follow his orders and also would be genuinely, compassionately interested mm-hmm. in Phil Coulson's well-being and every aspect of it. Okay, so we get this kind of tense chase with icers and guns, and finally we have a standoff, but then all of a sudden... The plane turns around by itself, and I'm like, what?
Your reaction to that was the best thing.
Because we were on our way to the Triskelion. We were going to get all the answers we wanted. Wasn't that great?
We were going to have a Fury cameo.
Right? I was like, oh, man, Fury cameo.
It's
by
too
the
good
end of the
to
episode.
Be true.
And we turn around, oh, snap. So now we've got this betrayal. We're stuck. We don't know what's going to happen next week. It is time for predictions.
Ooh.
My bad. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, folks. We've already been getting into it. We've been mixing it up. What are we thinking is happening next week and beyond? And also, throw in anything you're thinking about the movie this weekend.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I haven't heard a whole lot about the movie in terms of it coming out, but you know, we've been talking about predictions all show, but in terms of how the movie ties into it, I hear that a lot of what Captain America has to deal with in this upcoming film is the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. has some of these conflicting ideologies, and we've been seeing that a lot in this season, in terms of, you know, some agents wanting to stick to the book, who keeps secrets from the secret keepers and everything like that. And so I think Captain America has to deal with that in a lot of what happens in this film. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't read any spoiler reviews or anything like that. But that's what I hear is a good portion of the film. So I think with whatever the repercussions of what happens in Winter Soldier, I think that's going to directly affect, I think maybe even Victoria Hand's group, her, herself might be something that has to be contended with in Winter Soldier, and then we get the fallout next week.
Sure. Can I just say really quickly, I'm kind of bummed out that ABC air, in the spot where we would normally get a tag scene of the show, aired a clip from the movie that was potentially spoilerish without any information at the top to let you know this is a clip from the movie.
I was confused. I was like, is the preview of the next show, does it include Fury?
And when it went away to commercial break, it said, stay tuned for more Marvel.
Yeah.
Instead of more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Vagueness is not okay.
Didn't appreciate it. Kristen, how are you feeling?
I was going to say, I didn't mind that because I feel like if you've watched enough trailers, you kind of piece together that, okay, that car scene happened. We saw
but
the
flip. But we didn't know who was in it.
Yeah, but we saw...
You see Fury on a gurney.
Like,
in an operating room, yeah.
Well, and then... Well, no, you see him in the car at one point.
You see him in the car when it's flipped over, but you also see somebody who looks a lot like Director Fury on a gurney in a hospital room.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't think that was too big of a spoiler. I'm interested to see, because the next one was entitled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Uprising. I still wouldn't put it past... May to be talking to Victoria Hand. I think she's high up there.
A possibility. Anything is possible.
I think there's something she knows with that. And then I think maybe now May's getting played because we did see in the previews that she's like, it's not,
it's very true. She could be earnestly reporting to Hand. Again, thinking it's something for Coulson's own good and not realizing,
Because why would he call in Victoria Hand for some of these big things? And she can make calls more than Coulson can, so she's a high up, so I wouldn't put it past her to do that and kind of be playing May against her team.
I agree with Kristen. I feel like, I mean, as like I said, it's not part of her character to kind of just give in to like that, but who knows what she could have been told to convince her to put herself in this situation.
You're right. She could be very much a victim like everybody else.
And I just also tend to think it's not Hill or Fury just based on the fact that the chances of them doing another cameo may not be big. But we have Patton Oswalt.
It could be Patton Oswalt's character.
Now that would be cool. She's like, I can't tell you. I can't
We've
say.
Also got Amy Acker's character coming.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We
the
need
chalice.
To. Yay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very, very exciting. It's a divided panel on who she's talking to. I remain firm that it is
maybe she's
Hiller
been
Fury.
Giving Let's calls to the cellist this whole time to be like, he's still alive. There's still a shot.
Yeah, Let's and she calls the Melinda May update log 95. No. All right.
That's just how strict she is. Okay. Militant she is.
All right. I think it is time
for our
news and gossip. Which is our highlight reel.
So, again, Megan and I went to Paley Fest it was last week. And we got to interview a lot of the, pretty much all the cast except for Simmons, Elizabeth. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to interview her.
It was a very busy red carpet.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would put together just some of the highlights. Definitely check out the whole thing because some of them I put the more serious moments and other ones they had really funny stuff. Or like Simmons has has a very dry sense of humor. Like he's not as funny as I'm picturing Fitz when I'm on the carpet talking to him. And he was a lot more like
deadpan a little bit. Yeah.
Speaking of Fitz, one of my favorite moments of this episode is when he found the line in May's cockpit and. Simmons calls and she's like, Fitz, and he was like, don't say my name, Gemma.
That was really funny. All right, so anything else you want to set this up? This first clip, you're talking to Jeff Loeb, who's the head of Marvel Television.
And if you're watching on YouTube as well, I have the, there's a little subtitles say who I speak to on there. And again, there's longer ones if you go on the YouTube channel and look them up individually.
All right, great. Let's play it.
On April the 4th, Captain America the Winter Soldier opens, which is incredibly huge and spectacular.
I'm so excited to see that. Are there going to be tie-ins to Agents?
Well, let's just put it this way. We're back on April the 7th. I would not want to miss that show.
Okay.
And then we go straight through. Seven in a row, no reruns. It's pretty fantastic.
Now, how cool is it? Right now, we just got introduced of your SO, Bill Paxton. How has it been working with him, and what do we see in the future?
I have nothing but great things to say about this man. He is awesome. He's really, really cool. And he brings a different flavor to the whole TV show, actually, than Coulson. You know, Coulson, he kind of dry, sarcastic, and stuff like that. And Bill just has this really earthy, like, you know, devil-may-care sort of attitude.
It's cool. It's cool playing Fitz because... there's a lot of time, I mean, especially earlier on in the season, but there's a lot of the stuff that comes from a place of comedy and stuff. Is where it kinda, so it was nice being in that headspace and not having to be way too intense all the time, I think, was a nice experience.
What's your favorite to write for right now?
Well, she said Melinda May a second ago. But
now I'm going to change my answer. Who's close by?
We love writing for Fitzsimmons, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we love them all.
We love all of them. Coulson always has the great sort of zingers and one-liners, and he's so smart, and he's such a sort of father figure of the group.
Agent May because we honestly will just delete lines. You know, we'll write her line, then we'll delete it down to, like, a sentence, then a couple words, and then we'll just say, she gives him a look.
Which she does very well,
and that's the character, and it's super fun to write.
Agent May is now a double agent?
Well, you know, when you're in the world of S.H.I.E.L.D., you just never know where anyone is coming from, so stay tuned.
I just hope you're not talking to Victoria Hand.
Well, I don't know. I know. Well, was that a ruse? Them pretending to not like each other? Who knows? Yeah.
Girls do that all the time.
All the time.
Do you know what Sky is, or just they just tell you, like, oh, by the way, you're an 084?
They didn't really tell me that until... Actually, I don't even think they told me that. I think I'm pretty sure I read it in the script. I do know a little bit more than what the public knows, but I'm still pretty in the dark of... if she's someone from the Marvel Universe already or if she's new. So I've been incognito visiting all the comic book stores in L.A. trying to read up and trying to figure out what I am. And every day at work, I'm like, am I this? And they're like, no. I'm like, am I this? And they're like, no. I'm like, Spider-Woman. They're like, no.
So, now you have a blue alien inside of you. Do you know what it is?
I got a little alien in the mix. Frankly, it's not surprising. I told my wife about that, and she's like, well, they figured you out, didn't they? You're an alien. It's cool. I'm a comic book fan. It's cool. I don't know the ramifications. I don't know what it means, but it's clearly some kind of mutational element. So who knows how stable it is? Who knows if it's finished changing me? It also raises questions about the transplanted memories. Who put those in? What are they? And if they transplanted new memories, what else did they change in there? You know, I'm very excited by what's coming up. I think it will shock some people. Part of it's about the alien stuff. Part of it's about the secrets that are being kept from the secret keepers.
All right. Well, that was cool. That was great. Great job, both of you.
Can we talk about how cool it was that Chloe and I slightly bonded because she was wearing blue because she thinks the alien is a Kree. And I was like, I wore a blue dress because... We think it's a Kree.
That was a lie? You were literally, that's exactly what she said.
She said it's in the interview.
No, not her.
Oh, me?
You.
No, that's what I was doing. I was going through my wardrobe and I was like, I'll wear the blue one because it's a blue alien.
All right. Very cool.
I was there. I can affirm this.
Megan, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Menguin. That's Menguin.
All right. Kristen Carroll.
You can find me KristenCarroll13 on Twitter.
And Joyce.
And Twitter at JAJOURI and on the Sunday Night Podcast for Shameless.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find all my videos, AfterBuzz TV, SourceFed videos, and sketches on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. New shows coming up in the spring. In April, I got Playing House on USA, the new season of Mad Men, and Orphan Black on BBC America. I want to thank you all for joining us, downloading, watching, streaming, listening. You're the best. We'll be back next week, and I promise I'll read all those comments. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.